Welcome to the Land Geek Podcast, your resource for information and tips to making money by buying and selling land. Let the Land Geek show you how to make a passive income by working smart, not working hard. Learn strategies and tricks to make money buying and selling raw land today. And here's the man that's going to help you do that, the Land Geek.
Hey, it's Mark Podolsky, the Land Geek, and I'm on again with the young, talented, incredibly, I don't even know what the word I want to use is. I'm so tired, man. It's Duran Frazier, ReserveLand.com. Duran, what's up, buddy?
Not much, Mark. You know, it's been a long week for me. I'm gluten-free and dairy-free as of Monday, but, you know, as a passionate person, I take on things from 1 week to the next, so who knows what it'll be next week.
That's great. That's great. I'm trying to go paleo.
Mark, you weigh about 120 pounds, so paleo would make you a ghost.
Paleo, baby. Going back to our natural evolutionary resources. Look, the gluten-free thing is great. Honestly, though, I am eating just fruits, vegetables, nuts, and protein. I have a much better energy level. Don't count the pizza I had last night. That doesn't count. But for the most part, like 90% of my diet now is pretty clean. What do you think?
That's pretty awesome. I think the paleo diet would be pretty sweet if I could handle it. I'm pretty close to the paleo diet, just to minus a couple of little things here and there. But gluten-free and dairy-free for me are big because every day for the last, I would say, 8 years, I have always had a mocha. And a mocha consists of dairy milk, which I love my milk, and a little bit of chocolate. And that's gone by the wayside.
Yeah, I have to tell you that as fascinating as this is why people listen to our podcast, to hear about how you're so ripped and how I'm eating clean and have a lot of energy. We're talking about raw land, how to make money in raw land, baby. So we're just you know what's so funny, though, is we're talking about the podcast. That right there is probably going to be the most exciting thing that you're going to listen to this entire podcast. Because what does Duran want to talk about today?
Dieting.
No. Come on, man.
I want to talk about title and escrow.
Title and escrow. These are like so boring. If you're driving right now and listening to this, please get yourself a cup of coffee as we talk about title and escrow, because I don't want to be responsible for any accidents on the road.
Pull over and drink a Red Bull.
Yeah, pull over and drink a Red Bull as we get started into the fascinating, exciting world of closing deals with title and escrow. So, Duran, what's the difference between title and escrow?
Well, title and escrow in some states are generally under the same roof, but generally what title and escrow does, a title report, which most people know what a title report is, basically is a report that gives you all the information, background information on the property you're buying or selling. And an escrow is just basically a third party that allows you to put money in and have it in a safe haven until that project or property transaction closes. So basically you would want some buyers with raw land would like a title report. Others would like to shy away from it because there's costs involved. And, a title report, title and escrow fees could run you even for a $5,000 property could run you upwards of $600-$700. So there is a little bit capital intensive, but in a nutshell, that's what it is. You want to buy title insurance on your property to ensure that that it's a marketable title when you plan on selling it in the future.
Right. Because what's going to happen is, and this is probably, it rarely happens, but when it does, it's terrible. And usually with houses, this is a real, title's a big deal. Because you don't want somebody coming back 2 years later and saying they have a claim to your house, right? Well, the same thing goes with land. So Duran buys 5 acres, and then I say, hey, that's not your 5 acres. That's my 5 acres because the recorder made a mistake or somewhere in the chain of title, somebody made a mistake. You got to have title insurance, right? So it's a good investment to protect you from the underpaid, overworked government official screwing up your deed, so to speak. Is that right?
That's right. And when it happens, it's an utter nightmare.
Yeah. And there's certain counties that are terrible and more notorious for this than others. I won't name names, Hudspeth County, but be very careful if you ever buy Hudspeth County, Texas, because, and again, I don't want to name names, Hudspeth County, Texas, because it could be a total nightmare if you buy in Hudspeth County, Texas, and don't get title insurance on your properties.
I'm glad I've never bought in Hudspeth County, Texas, Mark.
Listen, I'm a positive guy. I never want to talk badly about any county or any agency, but that one is just rough. For the most part, I find the recorders, if you're nice to them, they're really helpful these days. It's not like what it used to be. I think technology's taking the workload off of them. They seem much chippier these days when I call. Those rare times now that I do have to call when Janie, the VA, won't do it or she's on vacation.
Well, when you've got 3-hour work weeks and you're getting paid 40 hours a week by the government and getting overtime and $100,000 salary bonuses to be the third in charge at the recorder's office, I too would be a little bit happier.
Come on, man. They don't make that kind of money, do they?
If I was having to deal with guys like you all day long, I'd hope.
Yeah, that's why they're underpaid. That's why they don't care about the chain of title. That's why you need title insurance. So what's going on with title? What's the difference between title and escrow?
Well, we just briefly talked about that, but escrow is sort of your third party. Basically, you would deposit funds or receive the funds from escrow. They are a neutral third party that handles the transaction.
Okay, so this is how I do deals without having to go through the expense of escrow. And Drayton, you do the same thing. You ever use Notary Pro?
Never use Mark, I swear I learn things from you every day, my friend. I got to come to your house and just spend a week with you.
You really do. You're surfing too much.
I don't surf.
Is what happens when you make too much money at a young age and you just stop trying because you don't have to try anymore.
You know what I feel? I feel like a rich or a broke Richard Branson.
Yeah, that's a good name for you. All right, so this is what I do. Duran's got 5 acres that I really want. He accepts my purchase agreement. But the price is so low, let's say it's $500. I'm not going to spend $500 for an escrow service. But what I will do is I'll spend $75 for a notary to be my de facto escrow. And what I'll do is I'll contact Notary Pro, which is all done online. And when I say me, I'll usually have my VA do all of this and give them the buyer information, or actually in this case, it's Duran's the seller, the seller information and their phone number. And what they'll do is they'll meet at like a Starbucks or McDonald's, somewhere public, and I'll send them the paperwork. So I'll send them Duran's deed. So all he has to do is sign the deed, notarize it into my company name, and then the notary gives Duran, my seller, my cashier's check. Then the notary takes the notarized document and sends it back to me, de facto escrow. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's great, right? $75.
Gosh, Mark,
I've never gotten in trouble with it.
Yeah, that's the problem. As soon as you do, you're going to have to use escrow.
Okay, so yeah, as soon as I do. But until I do, look, would I do it with a $25,000 deal, $50,000 deal? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I've got a.
But
I've got
$500? Come on.
No, I agree. I've got a deal right now that's in the six figures, and I honestly wanted to go the cheap route because we both knew each other quite well, and it was just basically a pretty simple transaction. And we weren't using title, but we just said, you know what, we'll pay the $500 or $600 to go through escrow and do it. So right. I get it. I mean, $500, of course, if somebody's very persistent on having some sort of escrow involved or third party, then that's a perfect solution.
Right, right. So what do you do with some of your eBay customers or Craigslist customers that say, you know, It's a really inexpensive property. Let's say it's $1,000, and you might be making, you know, good money on it. Let's say 300%, but still, you don't want to cut into your margin by providing them, escrow fees or title insurance fees. So how do you handle that? What do you typically do?
I mean,
do you pay for it? Do you do it for them, or do you have them pay for it?
Every deal is obviously unique, so it depends on the price and depends on the margin. So if I have a margin, I'm making 300 or 400%, and I've sat in the property for, you know, 6 months or a year, and I wanted to move it, and this was the buyer. They always say in the market, your first offer is your best offer. Right. So for me, I sort of look at all aspects of the deal. If it's something that I feel like I want to move, I will sacrifice a bit. But just to give you a case that sort of twisted my brain a little bit in terms of wanting to offer that to my clients. I did a deal. In fact, it was an eBay deal. It was a $55,000 eBay sale. It was an auction that was bid up.
Okay.
On a very nice piece of property.
Well, what was it?
It was a 640-acre parcel.
You're so ambiguous.
Why?
You're like a nice piece of property. Let's get some detail. What was the property?
It was a beautiful property outside of Battle Mountain in Nevada.
Okay.
It was 640 acres, beautiful, like unbelievable county road access right through the heart of the property. I think we had land banked this one for 7 years. So we had it for some time. The goal on these properties was to subdivide that county, in particular Lander County.
Oh, Lander. I know Lander.
You know the rules. The rules are a nightmare. Unfortunately, I still have about 6 or 7,000 acres in Lander County. But the good news is a lot of it's already paid off. So we've thankfully been able to pay a lot of the debt off through some other sales. But these parcels we had to move. And so I decided in order to move it, I would sacrifice and go through it. Although, again, eBay, you want to get it closed quick, but a $55,000 deal or $60,000, you got to kind of assume that the buyer is going to want to utilize the title and escrow. So going back to it, we went through title and escrow, and 3 weeks in, he decides he pulls the plug on it. And this is after his deposit. He had already removed his contingencies to purchase the property. And so he lost his deposit, which he didn't care about, and he decided not to move forward. And that was sort of the nightmare. See, the problem with title and escrow is there's always a time lag, meaning you could close a property in 1 or 2 days, but in title and escrow, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
So if a buyer has buyer's remorse, which, you know, that happens. And especially when it's a higher priced property, they tend to have a buyer's remorse. I mean, it happens on any level, but a bigger one, obviously, at that level is a little more frustrating, because you pull the property off for a month to sell it, 3 weeks in escrow, so you're like 8 weeks minimum before you can remarket the property. So,
yeah, that's a gut punch.
Yep.
When that happens. So. I've been fortunate. I haven't had a deal fall out of title, but I'm sure sometime it's going to. But yeah, that's terrible when that happens. But yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. Like, if it's an eBay sale, eBay is like de facto escrow, right? They're protecting both parties. You've got your eBay reputation. So I'm not going to not deed over property to somebody when I sold it to them on eBay.
Yeah,
and then I have a guarantee too, so I don't want anybody buying property from me sight unseen. So I have a crazy guarantee, and go out and see the property. If you don't like it, I'll refund you. I don't care, but it never happens.
Yeah,
I don't want to wait 3 weeks while some junior title officer, you know, does a preliminary title report on a piece of property that's $3,000. It's silliness. What do you think?
No, I agree. And I think, going back to what you just said, the junior title officer who takes 3 weeks, who's not working very hard on your deal because for them $55,000 is not a big deal, or of course at $3,000 or $4,000, they're just sort of laughing at you.
Right.
The problem is for us, that's our business, right? That's our business model is selling land. So we have a $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 deal. That just causes, a dilemma with us from a cash flow perspective, because we're always sort of forecasting and projecting what we're doing with our money on our next move or our next purchase. So it's a little frustrating. It's very frustrating when you're doing higher volume property. But even on the lower volume, it's frustrating to tie it up. Now, just so you guys are aware, you cannot do with a land contract. You can get a title report. You cannot get title insurance on a property when you're not transferring title. So
what do you mean you can't get title insurance on a property when you're not transferring title?
So on a contract basis, if you're doing a land contract, You can request a preliminary title report, but until correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is the case. You cannot actually do you cannot purchase a title policy on a piece of land that's not actually transferring, and because the property won't transfer until the final payment. So,
I see what you're saying. Right. Yeah. That's a land contract.
Correct. So what I'm saying is, and that's what I said. So on a land contract, you cannot. So if you have a buyer that goes, "Hey, I want to go through title and escrow," well, you know, you'd always have to let your buyers know. Look, this is, we cannot do that. We could go through some sort of third party if you'd like, in terms of, you know, the down payment and the contract itself. But we cannot go through a title company, and we could pull a preliminary title report if you'd like it. Which again, that costs some money, $200 or $300, which you may want to sacrifice depending on how big the deal is. Or split it with them, whatever you end up negotiating. But those can't be done until the actual sale. You've actually completed the entire sale, and at which point you could get a title policy.
Right, right. But now that I found your attorney, and thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
For Katie McConnell, that does $1,000 foreclosures. You know, if someone puts 20% down, I'll do a contract for deed.
Yeah.
You know, if they put 20% down, most people don't want to do that on these larger deals, because that's why they're interested in it, is on the easy terms. So, and that's really how I started out. But then when I had to do foreclosures, when the market just bottomed out in 2008, 2009, and I was paying $3,000 to $5,000 a foreclosure, it was terrible.
Yeah. You're talking about a deed of trust.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Deed of trust.
Yep.
It's called contract for deed in other states, right?
No. Let's just clarify that with everybody so they understand. So there's several ways that you can transfer a property, and we should probably at some point break that down in a podcast so that everybody understands the differences. But a contract for deed is basically a contract in place until the final payment is made. Then the deed is conveyed to the buyer. So whether it's 20 payments, 50 payments, 100 payments, 150 payments, whatever you've negotiated in that contract for deed, payment-wise, that final payment is when you actually convey the property. Now, a deed of trust, you actually convey the property, but you have a deed of trust in place, and that deed of trust reconveys as soon as they make that final payment.
Right. So it's a lien on the property.
Correct. So like a car lien, like you have a lien on a vehicle, that lien holder, the title to the vehicle is in your name, but there's a lien holder in place. So you legally own, you legally have title of the car, but you won't have the pink slip and have control of that vehicle until you actually have been signed off by the lien holder. So same thing works for land. If you are basically a lien holder on the land, and that deed of trust is your instrument that protects you from the buyer defaulting, trying to sell the property without paying you. There's a lot of things that obviously you can't do as the owner of the property if it's not paid off.
Right. So when I first started, I went to a very high-priced law firm in Nevada, and they said, if you're going to do owner financing, do deeds of trust for this reason, that reason, all these legal reasons. And when I had to start foreclosing, and it was so expensive, like, this is crazy. And so now I'm doing land contracts, and I haven't had any issues. Have you had any issues legally with any land contracts?
I have not had one, thank you, Lord, but it's one of those things where it's very simplified for me. I send the documents, I let them review it. If they don't like it or they want to make changes, they can do so. And if we agree to the changes, then we proceed. If we don't agree and we can't make a deal happen, it's not a big deal. I don't want to get involved with someone that has a problem with the contract. It's simple though. My contracts are very simplified. There are 4 or 5 pages. I have to, and I do give an extra amount of information, including how much the entire amortized loan is with interest on top of it, so they can see what they're paying overall. Because if they don't like it, they're not comfortable. If the property is $100,000 and they're getting charged 6% or whatever, the total of that 15 years of payments, I show them, so they know that the $100,000 now turns into $160,000 or $170,000, whatever it is.
And if I put my attorney hat on right now, mm-hmm. which I hate to do, and again, if you're driving, please take another sip of your coffee or Red Bull. I believe Dodd-Frank Act, you can only finance so many properties now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So you can only do so many deeds of trusts. Now, land contracts are different because the property is not conveyed. But I believe that you can only do, I want to say, a maximum of 10 deeds of trusts. I'm not exactly sure, but I remember this issue coming up, and it was It was the new bill that went through Congress.
Can we talk a little bit about Dodd and Frank?
Because no, I'm not getting into a political conversation with you.
I just want to let you know how much I care about them and love them for what they do for our
I'm cutting you off like an alcoholic. I should have even brought it up. I apologize. But I'll tell you right now, though, it is something to discuss if you're going to start doing deeds of trust in a big way. If you do a big deal and that's going to be your thing, consult an attorney, absolutely, before you start doing that. Because I do know there is a limit on how many you can do with housing and raw land.
And don't contact me or Mark because we're not going to help you with that.
We're not attorneys, even though we'd like to play one on TV. So that was boring.
That was really boring. I think
it's important, though, right?
Yep, I agree. In fact, that brings me to my website of the day or tip of the day.
We're not at tip of the day yet. We still have time.
Well, it's sort of I want to give it now because it kind of parlays with what we're doing and talking about.
Wait a second. This show has a flow to it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. We do that at the end of the podcast. All someone has to do then is go to, the 23-minute mark and hear Duran's tip of the day.
Oh,
this way they have to listen to the entire podcast.
Perfect. Okay, you're right. You guys, I really want you to listen to me because that's really important.
it's really important that you hear at the end. Go to www.thelandgeek.com and reserveland.com.
Oh, man,
Plug away, baby.
I just want everyone to know here, I'm not the one recording this. So if you don't like it, talk to Mark, not me.
Yeah, you know what? And I do need more feedback from everybody out there. What topics they'd like us to discuss. And, leave a comment. It's important because we do want to know how we're doing, what we can improve on, and the things that you are interested in hearing about. Because, as important as title and escrow is, and these topics are, they're a bit dry. But you want to talk a little bit about that big deal? We got a few minutes of it?
Let's do it.
All right, so I just did a huge deal with a wholesaler. When you've been in the business for 10-plus years, 12 years like myself, Duran, you've been doing it 12 years?
Are you serious? Come on.
13 years? How long have you been doing this?
Dude, 1999.
No way.
14 years, my friend.
14 years, you get to know people. You get to know really good people. So these good people I'm talking about are wholesalers. And as much as I like to go to tax sale auctions and buy up property with my letter writing campaign, there are these people out there that's all they do is they look for distressed property in big bulk deals. And it's super, super efficient when you find them and they flip it to you. So I had a deal come through yesterday and I had to move very quickly on it. It was very stressful. It was big dollars, but it was 210 lots, and I couldn't be happier about it. So how did I quickly do the due diligence to feel comfortable enough locking down such a big deal? And, Duran, where would you start on that due diligence when you deal with the wholesalers? Because you have to move fast. They'll come to you and say, you've got till today, and then I'm going to the next guy. I mean, it's very high pressure. It's very quick. You've got to move quick, and you've got to have cash.
And you've got to know your wholesaler, so you've got to know who you're dealing with.
You've got to have trust. It's a lot of trust.
And that's priority number one when you're walking into a deal like that. Know who you're buying from. If you've done business with them before, you can trust them. There's integrity. I would say that's step number one. Once you've passed that, look at the deal, ask as many questions as you can from them. They may not know too much. Find out where they bought it from. Ask the real basic questions. Then you've got to go into basically your due diligence mode, and that is get on Google Maps, learn the area, understand the area. And again, Mark and I have a little bit different, I'm sure, different philosophies of how we go about it, but probably at the end of the day, it's really similar.
I tell you what, this deal was big enough. I got involved. No VA, baby.
No
VA.
It was all Mark.
It was all geeky.
So how did you walk through like a 4 or 5 stage process?
First thing I did was I called the county. Okay. And I just wanted to confirm that the deal was happening with my wholesaler, right? Okay. Just wanted to make sure title was going to be clean. Second thing I did, called the treasurer, make sure there's no back taxes, no POA dues, nothing of that nature. So I wanted to get the whole story on that deal. Then I wanted to get into more specifics. What's the access like? What are the roads? What's the story? What happened with this property? Turned out it was a defunct POA and developer from a few years ago and a lake community. So that's the next part. Is it in a floodplain? Are there any environmental issues? What's going on with the neighbors? How many homes are out there? What are the comps in that area? Again, trying to fit the entire piece of the story within, you know, getting all this information as quickly as possible, writing it all down and going through my due diligence checklist. It was very stressful. And but at the end of the day, I pulled the trigger.
You know, I one of the things I don't know if I emailed to you or not, but I was curious to know, was that in a floodplain at any level?
It was not in a floodplain. And there's homes out there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. East Texas isn't like South Texas, which there's a lot of properties in the floodplain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, okay. I'm really excited about it. It's got utilities, power, water, sewers by septic. So all those things I wanted to know. I want to know, you know, about the hookup fees and
is it only zoned? Oh, you know, we talked about the two. Is it only zoned for mobile homes, correct?
No. There's residential lots and mobile home lots.
Okay. And the mobile home lots, if you put two or three together, could you build a home?
That's a good question. I don't know.
What? You didn't ask that?
I did. Look, I only had so many so much time. Look at the pressure. Mark, I'll find out.
That'd be question number six for me.
I'll tell you what, though. But at the end of the day, you know where the analysis really comes down to? Is if I had to liquidate this. Just liquidate it to another buyer. Would I make money? And the answer was yes, because I bought it so right. So that's why I pulled the trigger. Even if there was a little hair on the deal, I'll still do a deal if everything's not perfect. I'm not afraid of that. As long as there's something compelling about the property, you can find the property, there's good access, and I'll it's priced right. I'll do it.
Yeah. No, I think it was a smart move. In fact, so smart that I'm going to probably buy the project from you and you're going to make $200 a lot. I think that's correct, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's perfect.
Yeah. Duran likes to get in on these deals early stage as compensation for just being my friend.
And that's perfect. That's the way it should work. That's
right. Exactly.
We can go back to talking about our. Did we ever talk about it? We did a little bit about our Talus deal that got us into the game of, or got you kind of launched you into your career.
We can talk about that deal, but I think we should do that another time, another podcast. Okay,
you're right, because it's probably getting late here. But yeah, those subdivision purchases. I mean, finding, and that was the same deal. But Mark and I had gotten to a deal that was, I think, how many lots was that? 500 lots?
It was a lot. I think it was over 500, yeah.
It was 500 to 550 lots and outside of Taos, New Mexico. And of course, everyone knows that place is beautiful. But going back to it, we didn't have a huge window to do our due diligence. But thankfully, we'd already done a lot of due diligence because we owned other property in the area. So it worked out really well for him and I and more for him than I. But
that's because I had more cash. That's the only reason. You know what? He's still bitter about it.
I'm not bitter. You know
why? That's why I still bring you into these deals.
That goes back to our secret. There's a secret between you and I and that whole project. I'll tell you later, though. So anyway, I did very well.
Oh, my God. You made more money on that deal, didn't you? Unbelievable.
Hey, I didn't know you yet. That's how I could test your real, true, if you were real about this deal. Are you really bringing cash to the table? If that was the case. So anyway, a guy gave those lots to me, so I didn't tell you that.
Oh, you made some money.
I'm kidding.
Duran made some money. Well, look, I launched Duran's career out of duplicity, and here we are 12 years later. So. All right, it's time for tip of the day. What's your tip of the day?
Tip of the day. So if you want to get something done from a legal perspective and you don't want to call Mark or Duran because you feel like we are unqualified to give you not just real estate advice but any advice, I would suggest a website called rocketlawyer.com.
Rocketlawyer.com, okay. I'm going to go there now.
Rocket Lawyer is a fairly new site. But basically, you can actually they have this almost like an algorithm that when you know what you want to create, it'll go in and it almost has something built in. And if you want to change it or you want to make some, you know, that you want to have an attorney make some changes to it, they'll do it for you. So it's a really neat concept. But rocketlawyer.com, used it a few times. And if you want to create a land contract for the first time or you want to do different things, this is a place that you can go to do that.
Yeah, and knowing Duran, he probably has 10% equity in this company. Is this one of your VCs?
I own the company. Oh, I'm sorry.
Rocketlawyer.com.
Sorry, guys. I forgot to plug the fact that I own the company, 90% equity in the company. We raised $100 million for our Series A round of funding.
Come on, be serious.
I have no equity stake in this company.
You have no equity stake in this company?
I promise I don't.
Okay.
But once you do that and you're ready to list your property, definitely go to realpropertyfinder.com to list your property, because that's where all the magic's going to happen and how you're going to find your next buyer.
I love it. Rocketlawyer.com. Okay, well, I have a similar tip of the week. And this one is tax deed title insurance without a quiet title action. So just to be real clear.
.com?
No. Yeah, right. Just to be real clear, when you buy property at tax sale, your junior escrow officers or title officers will tell you, you can't get title insurance on tax sale property. It's just too tough. You've got to go through what they call a quiet title action. And a quiet title action is a legal action with an attorney where they notify everyone in the chain of title that within this certain period of time, depending on the state and the county, that you can say, okay, I have a stake in that property. If nobody comes out and says, oh, that's my property, then the title becomes very clear and it goes from zero. Like, you know, there could be 100 people in that chain of title. It goes back to one, and you're the first one now in that chain of title, and you'll get title insurance. It's a big pain. It's expensive. I don't recommend it on inexpensive tax defaulted properties at tax deed. Expensive properties, I do. I think a quiet title action can be very important. However, this new service is called taxtitleservices.com. I'll put this in the notes, by the way, as well, for rocketlawyer.com and taxtitleservices.com. What do they do? They've developed a process that enables tax lien and deed investors to obtain title insurance on their tax deeded properties without the need to file quiet title actions or wait out statute of limitation periods. Very, very important. And I can see Duran is puzzled by this. Have you heard about this?
I have not. It sounds amazing.
Taxtitleservices.com.
You know, you've got a great system in place, Mark. Are you hiring?
I am hiring.
Perfect.
Actually.
A VA?
Oh, only VAs. Can't afford you.
Right now I'm at $9 an hour.
Yeah, I still can't afford you.
I just revamped my resume. You probably can't.
So, all right. Listen, learn more. Download the Passive Income Blueprint at www.thelandgeek.com. Or, you know what? Why not pick up some wholesale land from me? FrontierPropertiesUSA.com. And leave us a comment. Don't leave Duran out. You can tell he's hurting. Go to ReserveLand.com. Buy a piece of property from him. More importantly, let us know how we're doing. Leave a comment and stay with us. Come back next week and hopefully leave a comment about your topic so we don't have to talk about something as dry as title insurance and escrow.
And more importantly, go to when you have your property and you need to sell it, you go to ruralpropertyfinder.com, because that will be the next big land site where you can syndicate your property on Craigslist and YouTube.
I love it.
Many other sites.
Ruralpropertyfinder.com as well. So Duran will be coming up with a coupon code just for our podcast listeners, I'm sure.
Yes, I will.
And that's great. So this is Mark Podolsky with Duran Frazier and the Land Geek out. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Land Geek. Join us next time for more tips, secrets, and information that will help you succeed. Stay connected with The Land Geek on Facebook at facebook.com/TheLandGeek.